to you, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please take a seat. Continue our sermon series. It is titled Epiphanies. And so we are visiting various appearances of the Lord. You know, the word epiphany, just to review, is a fancy church word, and it means an event, an object, or a way that God reveals himself to the people of old, particularly those in the Bible. An epiphany sometimes demonstrates or exhibits or confirms the will of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. And the Bible is just filled with various types of epiphanies, a variety of them, as a matter of fact. Let's just review a few of those. One example is a God audibly speaking. That's an epiphany, God revealing himself. He did that at Jesus' baptism, right? He said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I think of another time that he did it with Saul. Saul, who was persecuting the Christians, he said, Saul, who turned into Paul, he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I think about the times that he also spoke to Samuel, little boy Samuel, in the Old Testament. Three times he called Samuel by name. God speaks to people of old. Also, there's dreams. Look in the Bible, there's lots of dreams in which God reveals himself to a variety of people. The story of the wise men. Don't go back to King Herod. Old Testament Joseph, New Testament Joseph. There were dreams that Daniel interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar. Jacob's ladder was based upon a dream. There's others. Appearance of angels. God talks or speaks or sends angels. That's an epiphany. Think about the angels that appeared to Abraham, to Hagar, to the shepherds in the field who were watching their flocks by night. There was one about John in prison. An angel came and comforted him, released him. There was Peter, who was also released from jail. Many others who had appearances of angels. There's also then visions. I think about the vision of Peter. It's in the book of Acts, and that sheet that comes down, and it's filled with animals. And God says to him, there's two epiphanies, right? God says to him, kill and eat. And those are all foods that Peter previously had not eaten before, and God was giving him permission to eat. There's the vision that John has in the book of Revelation. The whole book is based upon a vision. God says to John, write these things down, things that I'm telling you about. It was some sort of vision. I don't know the difference between a vision and a dream, but evidently there is. There's animal epiphanies in the Bible. The dove at Jesus' baptism, the dove, the symbol that came down as the voice of God spoke. There's also a very curious story in the Bible about a donkey talking to a man by the name of Balaam. That was an epiphany, a talking donkey. Get that. There's also inanimate object epiphanies. There's a real curious one in the book of Joshua, or Judges, Joshua, I think, where Gideon prays to God for a sign. And so in one instance, he wanted to God to confirm something for him, and he asked that the rug be wet and the ground around it be dry. And then it was like that, and then opposite the next evening, the rug be dry and the wet be filled with the ground be filled with moisture. There's the inanimate object, the star, again, that led the Magi. Bread and wine, that's the presence of God, we believe. Then there's that story that we're going to talk about next week. I'm looking forward to it. It's the fire by night and the cloud by day that led the children of Israel through the desert for those 40 years. So all of these ways are epiphanies, ways in which God reveals himself, appearances of the Lord. He gives word, direction to God's people. Lots and lots of them. But probably there's not one. Probably not one, or a few, I should say, that's more, well-known, possibly, than the one of the burning bush. That's the story we're talking about tonight. So we're going to uplift three faith points which this story talks to us about in terms of this epiphany of the burning bush and its relevance for us, okay? So here we go. Faith point number one. Get this. Take note. Your burning bush may not be a burning bush, okay? The story says this. There's an angel of the Lord that appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a blazing, yet it was not consumed. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but if only, right? If only it was that easy. If only God would use a burning bush to talk to me, to VTech. Then I'd know what to do. Then I'd know what not to do, maybe. I would know more clearly what God's will is. If only I had a bush that talked to me. But I've never had a bush speak to me, or I've never had a cloud or an angel or an audible voice from God. Never had that kind of dream or a vision or even a talking donkey, all right? I'm not saying it doesn't happen, all right? Because obviously it does happen. It's in God's Word. It's in the Bible. It's right there. And I've known people over the years who have shared with me their faith experiences of having such godly epiphanies and experiences. And so I would never, ever deny that such a thing occurred for an individual. I'm just saying, it's never happened to me. And yet God Almighty has, and He continues to reveal Himself, to reveal His will and His direction to me, to you, to all of us on a regular basis. And you see, it's not always in the grand, spectacular ways like a burning bush. But more often He does this through the less dazzling and the more common ways of life. Let me give you a little bit of an example that we can kind of warm up to this idea. It's similar to the very, very busy father. The busy dad who worked many, many hours providing for the family, right? His son, a little boy, second grade or so, was always longing for his father's attention. But the dad was so busy burning the candle at both ends, at all three ends, all four ends, the dad rarely had time to pour into that child and to give that child that attention. Well, the dad decided they were going to go on a big vacation. He's going to make up for it, right? And so for the family of three, they decided to have this magnificent getaway to Disney, right? I mean, Daniel would love to be on board with this. So after seven great days, seven magical days in Florida, the father asked him on that trip home as they were flying back to Texas, said, "Well, son, what did you think? What did you think of that fabulous time that we had there together?" The boy answered, "Dad, it was great. But the time that you could spend with me once a week in the backyard throwing the baseball, that would be just as great." You see, it's not just always in the big stuff, in the fanfare, that meeting happens. And so it's true. God often uses just the common, just the regular ways to communicate His power and His presence and His direction in our lives. I love the way 1 Kings 19 says it. Tells a story. It's an epiphany. It tells a story of Elijah. Elijah was hiding in a cave from his enemies. He thought his enemies were going to kill him. He was scared to death. But God came, and as a matter of fact, it started with a voice. I'm going to read part of it to you. The voice of God said to Elijah, "Come out of the cave. Come out of the cave, for the Lord is about to pass by you." Then there was a great wind, so strong that it split mountains, broke rocks. But the Lord is not in the great wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a gentle whisper. And the Lord was in that whisper. You see, it was in the simple, it was in the quiet, it was in the ordinary, it was in the common that God's presence was experienced by Elijah. You see, what that means is that I think for you and I, we shouldn't always expect a burning bush or a descending dove or a wet blanket or a talking critter. But to know and to trust that the primary way that God reveals Himself to us, that God comes to us, that God makes an epiphany with us, get this, is by opening the Bible. Hebrews chapter 1 says it this way. It says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways. And you can think about those many and various ways. Burning bushes, beasts, voices from heaven, angels, all these things. And also by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by to direct your attention to go this way, to go that way. Be in the Word. Open the Bible. Sometimes, in addition to that, join a group where there's study about the Bible. So it's not just you thinking and understanding things, but there's a broader perspective with that. In a small group, in a study group, in a Bible, in a Sunday school group. You see, the primary way that God always speaks to us is through the stories of God's people in the Bible, in the life and the times of Jesus Christ. You know, it's one of our values here. It's one of our G-R-A-C-E-D. And go to God in prayer daily. That's the first one. R. Read God's Word daily. You can read the rest on the front of your bulletin. But it's in God's Word that He makes that epiphany with us. He is present to you, to me. He shows up. He brings us hope, faith, strength, conviction, and a peace that passes all human understanding. You want a burning bush? Burn through the words of God's Word in your Bible. Second faith point. Position yourself to experience your burning bush. You know, at the very beginning of this Bible story, Moses is busy. What is he doing? He is tending his father-in-law's sheep. Father-in-law's name was Jethro. So he's tending these sheep, and he comes across this burning bush. Verse 3 says it this way: I must turn aside and look at this great thing. Meaning that he must turn aside from the busyness of what he's doing. He must change his direction. He must turn aside to focus on the bush. You see, experiencing an epiphany requires us so many times to turn aside. Turn aside from the busyness of what's occupying our time or preoccupying our head right now. But maybe something consumes us that we don't position ourselves for a revelation from God. So get this, the key. The key is body language. I want to share with you, we live out in the Crabapple Grove subdivision, kind of on the edge of town over there, just above where the elementary school is. And as you come out of that subdivision and get on Lower Crabapple Road, you look straight west. You look, I don't know what direction that is. Yeah, it is west. You look straight west, and there's Cross Mountain right over there when you come out of that subdivision. And there's about a 20-acre hay field right there. By now it's in stubble because they cut hay a time or two this past year. Well, as I drive by, as I come to church, and it happened tonight, by the way, when I was coming to church again, it happens at least once, maybe two times every single morning, once a week, right out in the middle of that hayfield is what? A black cat. I don't take that as a bad sign, okay? All right? I see her there so very often. I even stop to observe her sometimes. She's there all the time. She's a hunter. She's out there searching for mice, lizards, birds, small snakes, crickets, other edible critters that a feline diet enjoys. As I was thinking about our Bible story today, it occurred to me that this cat is positioning herself for good things to happen, for her to fill her tummy here. But in order to do that, she has to turn aside. She has to turn aside from whatever a cat would otherwise be doing, right? Being pet by her master, purring, rubbing up against somebody, possibly climbing a tree, maybe even taking a cat nap. Well, whatever else she could be doing, she's not. Because so often she's positioning herself in this fertile food plot to have some tasty morsel for lunch. You see, for you and I to experience an epiphany, so many times we have to turn aside. Turn aside from so many of the busy things that occupy us, that take us away from the body language, from us posturing ourselves to have those aha God moments, particularly in His Word, and in prayer, and in study with others. You know, I don't know about you, but it's true for me, all right? Confession of one of your preachers. I can find an excuse for just about anything or everything in the world to do other than positioning myself for prayer or reading the Bible or doing of that. You don't know. Yep, yep. All right. Yep, okay. I see your eyes turning away. Yep. At times, I will delay my God time because I know I've got a lot of other busy things to do. Things that really need to be done, things that are important to be done. You know, the grass needs to be mowed. I need to clean out my car. I need to work on income tax already this time of year. Dishes washed that Tammy didn't do again. Watching TV. Being on my electronic device. All of these things, whatever. And it's all, again, important. And some of the things are fun to do. They need to be done. I want to do them. But it can take my attention away from me not turning aside from these things to hear from God in His Word, in prayer, and in devotion. You know, I'm drawn to the words of Psalm 26. You know them, I think. Be still, it says. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we got to turn away from all the busyness that we're doing to position ourselves for epiphanies in prayer and in God's Word by being still. We're so busy. Busy bodies. Position ourselves just like that black cat, right? Hey, it was a while back that I was driving home from College Station, I think, seeing grandkids, and I was listening, it was a Friday night, and I was listening to a Billy football game, you know, Billy's, go Billy's, right? There's a football game, and I was trying to tune in to the radio, and so right outside of San Antonio on this side, kind of headed to Drifting Springs, I started to pick it up a little bit, all right, started to pick it, right, Billy, let's go 20 yards, a little bit of that. It was kind of scratchy, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Lots of interruption. But the closer and closer I got to home, Henley, Johnson City, High, and Stonewall, the closer I got, the better the reception of the game came. You see, the closer we get into our spiritual disciplines of reading God's Word, prayer, worship, personal devotions, group devotions, the greater reception that we have for epiphanies from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Second faith point in this is encourages us to turn aside, to position ourselves for an epiphany from God's Word. And the third faith point is this. Don't miss the ultimate epiphany. I mean, the ultimate epiphany. Bible story says this. Moses turns aside, looks at the burning bush. God says to him, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And here it is. I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh my goodness, OMG, how prophetic is that? As the Almighty God came down from heaven to be in the bush and then sent His messenger Moses to deliver the people out of their bondage in Egypt, so God the Father, upon observing the misery of we sinners, all of us enslaved to darkness, all of us in need of Jesus Christ to be our Savior, He hears our desperate cries. He knows our need for forgiveness. He knows our need for hope and strength and healing and restoration and peace. He sends who? He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, from the heavenly throne. Not to land in a bush, but to land on a cross. Another form of wood. So that we might ultimately be delivered from the misery of our sin. One of my favorite war movies is Saving Private Ryan. Any of you seen Saving Private Ryan? Old movie, right? 1998. It stars Tom Hanks, a lot of other great stars in there. But the tagline of that is that news of three out of four of the brothers from one family have been killed in combat during World War II on the European front. And so the U.S. Army wants to spare that family from the possible grief of losing that fourth son to a casualty of war. And so what happens is that there's an eight-soldier unit. They're deployed to go out and try to find this Private Ryan. They want to find him. They want to bring him home. So as the story unfolds, this bloody six out of eight of those soldiers sent to retrieve Ryan, including Tom Hanks, sacrificed their life for this mission. This mission to deliver Private Ryan safely home. Think about it. 1 John 4 says, He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. It's been said like this, if there was only one person, if there was only one soul on this planet that needed to be delivered from hell, that God would still send His Son as that sacrifice on the cross. This is the epiphany of all epiphanies. That God would come down from heaven to deliver us. Born at Christmas, we're still in the shadow of that. Born at Christmas, we celebrated that just a couple of weeks ago. But not just to be born, not just to live a model life, but to intentionally lay His life down to be sacrificed so that we might receive deliverance, forgiveness of sins, new life now, and eternal life to come. In that movie, Saving Private Ryan, Tom Hanks, right before he dies, tells Private Ryan this: remember the sacrifice made for you to be able to go home. May we not look for a burning bush. May we not look for some sign, this, that, or the other. Not a talking mule or star or even vision. But may we remember. May we remember the sacrifice that God made for us in Jesus Christ, His Son, so that He might take us home. In doing so, we look upon the cross. We look upon the empty grave as the ultimate epiphany.